And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I gotta point out something. So you guys hear ads playing during the break, right? Just know this, Right Side Radio, we are indeed a standalone entity. The stations that we are played on, they don't own us. We own the content. We send them our show. And so we play them live every single day. And the way we support our business, like many other businesses do, is by selling ads. So if you are a Right Side ruffian and you're listening to this show and you've got a business that sells goods or services, look, you may want to know that all of our stations combined, they say that we've got well over 30,000 listeners per week that may much sooner as a bunch of ruffians rather buy from another Right Side ruffian. So if you want to advertise on the show, we'd love to have you. And you don't call the station to do it. You contact us directly. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. All of our stuff is on there. All of it. I mean, all kinds of stuff's on there. But on top of that is a place where you can contact us, send us a message on the advertising tab. And Lauren from Right Side will be back in touch with you like ASAP. So yeah, love to have you on the team. Just send us a message from rightsideradio.org and Lauren will give you a call. I'm jumping into number two here. Number two on the Triple Dipper. Dealing with anti-Semites. First of all, I look at this and I said it in my monologue and I think, how is this even allowed to happen? If we had a group of students wearing white robes and hoods, burning a cross and chanting for, you know, like death to black people, that would be international news, and they would have been hauled away immediately, and perhaps rightfully so. If, in fact, we had a organized protest out there that was determined to call for the death of gay people, I'm just picking one, that would be ended in a heartbeat. If this was something that was calling out Muslims, I think they would be just put to a stop like within moments. But apparently it's fair game to call for death to Jews. And I do not get it. Not only is it wrong on a variety of levels, but it is wrong on the fact that this is a nation of laws and we do not allow your First Amendment right to call for violence. And yet that's happening. Well, so first of all, let's take a look at a couple of things before I get into how do you handle it. Let's get the lay of the land. And the lay of the land here is somebody has been funding this stuff. I mean, you cannot look at these well-organized protests and like half the tents all look the same. Like somebody ran down there and bought out every tent at, the local sporting goods shop. And suddenly, you know, Gander Mountain's got like free advertising at all the campus protests. I mean, it's just like they got Cabela's is just sold out of tents. Okay, that's money, y'all. I don't care which one you get. You're looking at the cheapest of cheap tents being a $50 or more tent. And then and some of the ones I'm seeing as a guy who used to backpack a lot, you're looking at a couple hundred bucks for that tent. And there's a string of them out there. Who's paying for this?
I was just going to say, and then on top of that, you laying them out in nice rows. Yes. Like,
it looks like an army bivouac.
I could see back when my ROTC days at Auburn, like we probably would have had some Marines out there having us do that. But like a random group of students, like, yeah. I don't know, maybe they got their stuff together more than we did back then. But
you're talking about a whole bunch of kids who don't even bathe and they got their tents lined up in nice, neat rows. That just doesn't make sense.
I would think that would be more like it starts raining and go, oh, yeah, we probably need some cover before laying out a bunch of tents. You know, I mean, that was the way I would have been back then.
Well, so a story I've got here from FoxNews.com. There's been a lot of speculation that there is funding behind a lot of this. And more we're finding, yes, that's the truth. That's the truth. The particular article I've got here is funny because it's Politico, being mocked for being surprised. Well, it's Politico. So Politico is not known for their conservative leanings, if you know what I'm saying. Politico says Fox News says anti-Israel protesters on college campuses are reportedly getting funded from several big-name Democrat donors that have backed President Biden's reelection efforts. Democrat donors such as George Soros, David Rockefeller Jr., who sits on the board of Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and Susan and Nick Pritzker, who own the Hyatt Hotel Corporation, have funded pro-Palestinian efforts to protest the Israel-Hamas war. The Tides Foundation, which received substantial funding from Soros and was supported in the past by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, distributes money to left-wing causes. A spokesperson said the Gates Foundation has no active grants. The Tides Foundation has never given to anti-Jewish groups. Okay, they say that. They also say they haven't donated to President Biden. But the Politico report was headlined by saying, pro-Palestinian protesters are backed by a surprising source, Biden's biggest donors. Surprising? Surprise to who? So some of the comments are pretty funny. Chaya Rychik, if you know her, she's the one who founded Libs of TikTok. She said, this is actually the least surprising thing I've heard all year. You got Katie Britt, U.S. Senator from Alabama. Her comment was a completely unsurprising source. Stephen Miller, who used to work for Trump, said the journalists at Politico apparently are the only people on the planet surprised by this. And it goes on from there. But y'all, yes. So first of all, there are major left-wing groups that are providing funding. Well, what do they do with the funding? Well, we do know this. There are professional agitators whose job it has been to get in there and rally these kids up and inspire them to do things they might not have done on their own. So these groups are being funded to provide leadership. They're being funded to provide supplies. They're being funded to provide the tents and other things they need to sustain. They're being funded, by the way, to provide legal counsel, media coverage, yes. And then there's his training. Townhall.com. Pro-Hamas students reportedly trained by left-wing groups 9 months before the college protest began. Really? So the foundations may have been laid some time ago. Interesting. By the way, what was 9 months ago? Was that October 7th? How many months back is that? Where are we now? We're in May. That was 7 months, October, November, December. That's 8 months. So 9 months ago, they're getting training. Then October 7th happened, and now the protests have broken out. Coincidence? I think not. Butters joins me with a shaking of the head.
No.
I'd say no. Left-wing groups and activists, according to townhall.com, have reportedly been receiving training for months ahead of the chaotic pro-terrorism protests occurring on college campuses. According to a Wall Street Journal report, many of the pro-Hamas agitators have been consulting with groups like National Students for Justice in Palestine and another one called Samadun, which is a Palestinian solidarity network. The protesters were reportedly trained on how to encourage college students to join in on the demonstrations and how to plan for their turbulent events. Really? I kid you not. So the groups use social media to reach out to potential protesters, give them advice, such as how to cover their faces and yada yada. Columbia University students also attended a, quote, teach-in hosted by former members of the Black Panthers before their pro-Hamas protests, taught them how to handle, quote, internal disputes regarding political movements. Students were encouraged to call on universities to divest from Israel. Great. The university also had a Resistance 101 training program, this is Columbia University, back in March, which included a speaker from the Canada-based group Samadun. The group has been publicly celebrating the brutal October 7th Hamas terrorist attacks. So let me get this straight. Samadun, which is a group out of Canada, I believe, comes to the United States celebrating the October 7th massacres in Israel, and then goes on to Columbia University's campus. I will say this, the university tried to ban the event from happening, but the organizers trained defiantly anyway, it says, resulting in some students even being suspended for attending. But what you're hearing here is these groups knew what they were doing. They were getting in there with funding. They were getting in there with training. They were getting in there with supplies. They're getting in there with the recruiting effort. They're finding these kids and they're rallying them up and they're even giving them their messaging. If you notice, the messaging stays the same in every single one of them. And then you've even got some who are saying, well, if you'd like to come in, you have to go speak to our police liaison. You have a police liaison? Or if you want a statement, we can't give you a statement. You have to go to the media tent. You have a media tent? Yeah, this is a little too organized. But once they're in there, man, is the press even allowed to see? Not always. Story here that I'll probably wind up starting now and finishing after the break. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll hold this till after the break. Let me do this, Butters. Let's go ahead and move towards that break about 30, 45 seconds early, just so I can start this when we get back. But I'm going to tell you about what some students say they're seeing and putting up with daily. At the same time, is the press even being given actual access? Not always. Phil Williams, Whiteside Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower up in here. Hey, I am going to the phones right now. Is that Allie from Athens is on the line? Allie, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing well. And my purpose of my call is to just corroborate the fact that this whole thing that you are discussing is same song, second verse, because we did it over a half a century ago, point by point, tactic by tactic. And I want people to understand that you are not making this stuff up out of whole cloth, Senator.
Well, I appreciate it. My former hippie war protester friend, so you guys saw training and support back in the day, huh?
Oh, yeah. And if I may take a couple of minutes here to break it down, the time that this entire picture that you're discussing really came, well, it was the wake-up call for me about the fact that I did not want to be a part of this anymore, and I'll explain it. We tried to shut down the Cleveland County Courthouse. This wasn't my only adventure, but we tried to shut down the Cleveland County Courthouse by making a human chain and singing the hymn Once to Every Man and Nation, which maybe some people don't know, but it was the co-opting of a hymn that was originally designed to discuss the evils of slavery. And when folk got arrested, I was considered part of quote-unquote legal aid. Yes, there it is, mister. Legal aid. And I am telling you, out of nowhere, an elderly lawyer walked up to me. I didn't know that I'd really been appointed to be legal aid, but he put $1,000 in my pocket, and this was a chunk of change 50 plus years ago.
Oh, yeah.
to go spring people from jail, which I did. I mean, walked with him and kind of went through the process. I'm a ripe old 18 years old, young skull full of mush. Now that I'm 70, I hope that I've, gotten a little bit of wisdom. But then what ended up happening was that as we began to disperse, somebody from the SDS, like I said, same song, second verse, somebody from the SDS came into our group and tried to incite violence. And the wording that he used was, bring the war home. This was in reference to Vietnam, of course. Bring the war home. And I remember, this was a season in my life where I had experienced the Lord. I had accepted the Lord, but I didn't know anything. And I honestly thought that I was involved in, you know, truth and justice. Certainly not the American way, because we couldn't have that. But at the very least, truth and justice. But I knew that this was not the way that I wanted to go. And as I was at a real crossroads, because up until that point, I had believed in nonviolent protest, having grown up in the civil rights movement, but I was being sucked into violent protest a bit at a time. And this was the thing that jerked me back. And so please understand, I mean, you want training ahead of time. It's don't wear earrings if you have pierced ears. It's don't wear necklaces if you have a necklace, because you don't want your ears ripped out and you don't want to get choked. And other kinds of things. So yeah, I experienced this.
Yeah.
And in looking at it, looking back on it, I realize now I was being groomed. Didn't know it. But that's how you get targeted. If you have idealism, or if you want to make a difference, if you want to dent the universe on some level, that is what the people who are older are trained to look for and to draw forth. And that is what happened to me. Thank the Lord that Jesus won. But man, it was dicey there for a bit.
Well, you got an amazing story. And I know you wrote about some of that stuff in your book, which I love. And I've got it on the Right Side Reading recommended reading list, Right Side website. By the way, you mentioned a group, FCS. Who was that?
The Students for Democratic Society.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, The FCS folks were the ones who were behind that. Bill Ayers and company. Bill wasn't there, but they self-identified, if you will, as FCS, and they tried to get us to commit violence, which up until that point we had not.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I do not doubt that it happened then, and it's certainly happening now. Allie, once again, your testimony is pretty spot on.
Well, thank you, sir. And I want to tell you this real quickly.
Yeah.
You got bragged on at Coffee Call on Saturday morning at the Alabama Veterans Museum, and they made quite a point of talking about how much they were looking forward to you coming and speaking on the Memorial Day celebration that we're going to be having that Monday. So just had to let you know.
Well, I joined that excitement. I look forward to it myself. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome, sir. You have a great day.
All right. See ya. Wow. How much time we got for the break there, Butters? We've got about a minute
and a half. About a minute.
Okay. I won't jive into the next article, but I'll tell you, Allie does have an amazing story. Her book, by the way, is on the recommended reading list tab at the rightsideradio.org website. It's called Ballad for Baghdad. But it's the subtitle of it is a hippie war protester's 3 years, a former hippie war protester's 3 years in Baghdad. And she's got stories, man. She's got stories.
I'll just throw out as I'm listening, I think, well, you know, the positive side of me wants to go, well, there's hope, right? You know, it's our system will endure, you know, and maybe it's not the doom and gloom that, also seems to be feeling out there.
That's true. There are people that actually grow up and grow out of it. By the way, I said it wrong. It's Ballad for Baghdad by Allie Turner, and it's an ex-hippie chick Vietnam War protester's 3 years in Iraq. She spent, you know, those times protesting in the past, and she later went back and served our troops for 3 years in Baghdad. And 3 years, man. That's good stuff. All right, listen, we're going to come back after the top of the hour. We're going to be diving right back into this, dealing with anti-Semites. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more about what they're doing. You know, we've laid out they've got training, they've got funding. I'm going to tell you some of the things they're actually doing. And then I'm going to tell you about, okay, where they're getting some of this from, and then how do we begin to respond to it. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. We're in this dipper number two, dealing with the anti-Semites. So first of all, I just covered very clearly that they are indeed getting funding. They are indeed getting training. They are indeed getting supplies, and they're getting the support that they need and the training that they need and the basically the agitation that they need to go forward. And then we had that great call from Allie who talked about, yep, that's the play card, man. That's what they did back when I was a Vietnam War protester, she said. Literally stoking them, moving them, paying them, taking care of their legals. Keep going, do more. Don't you want to get violent? Let's get violent. And so, yeah, they get stirred up and there are these professional agitators that want them stirred up. Let me jump on a call real quick. I think it's on topic. Line one, Brian from Harvest. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Great show. Thanks for what you do.
Thanks, man.
Should I go ahead?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
So I attended my nephew's graduation out in Utah this weekend. And, he expressed some very strong anti-Semitic views. We had a very long conversation. My perspective as a conservative Christian is I have a warm spot for the Jews. But I do recognize there are God-fearing Jews and there are Jewish people that are not God-fearing. So we had a very long conversation. And it's interesting, his perspective as a he identifies as a, you know, male, white Christian, and he's very traumatized by the whole, you know, woke situation at university, and yet he still was expressing very anti-Semitic ideas. And so what I try to do is just agree with him on some of the factual things about, you know, bad things Jews have done, but to say that, you know, it's not right then to take that and smear all Jews, and it's not right to be a racist based on a few facts about bad things Jews have done. We had a long talk. I think maybe I bent him a little bit, you know, back towards the way I'd like to have him see things. But anyway, that's what I encountered this weekend.
Yeah, and that's so. Yeah, thanks for the call, Brian. And I'll tell you, first of all, thank you for spending the time to talk to him about it, because sometimes what these kids need is just that voice of wisdom who will speak the truth in love. I mean, that's got to be done. And the fact that he gave you the opportunity and you took the opportunity, I think is huge. So thank you for doing that. Let me ask you this. Where did he ever express where he develops his views from? Like who told him that Jews are bad, he should hate the Jews?
No, I'm not sure. I think he just sees them as, actually, it's a very strange thing, being, I think, generally conservative-minded, that some of the values that are under attack are, you know, there's Jewish people, are people that identify as Jews that are behind it and funding it. And even, I mean, it's very strange. There seems to be some of that even behind the, you know, pro-Hamas protests. But I think that's where he's coming from with it.
Well, so he's been listening to the organizers of the protests, is what it sounds like. And
maybe.
And can I ask which university he graduated from?
Yeah, University of Utah.
Yeah, have they had any on-campus protests there?
Not so much. I mean, that's definitely conservative Mormon territory. But, you know, I also heard they chose one of the seniors, the outstanding senior, and then she gave a talk. And, wow, the woke mind virus was strong there.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably true. Well, listen, man. I mean, I think first of all, one of the things that I would say in this dipper that I'm on right now, how to deal with folks who have an anti-Semitic belief, is to talk them through it. And I think you'll often find that they'll spout what they've been told to say, but a lot of times it's like sound bites. It's surface deep. They can't. It goes wide, but not deep. And they can tell you all the reasons why, but they can't argue their points in depth. By the way, how did he do in holding up his side of the argument? Was he able to make a cogent response to things, or did he have a lot of, well, I don't know, I have to look into it?
It was cogent, and I mean, you're talking about somebody with high intellectual capacity, and I think that, you know, he respected me. I was able to engage on his level, so, you know, it's first of all, not getting angry, listening, and, you know, understanding their points. And then he, you know, because I did that and maintained his respect, I was able to counter, you know, some of the points while accepting some of the points he was making were factual, but, you know, that doesn't justify being a racist.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Brian, great call. Thanks for that. That's a good firsthand discussion and I think you handled it great. It sounds like you were spot on, brother. So thanks for your time, man. Brian from Harvest, we appreciate you.
Thanks. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. That's a good call. And by the way, on the one-on-one, that's exactly what's needed. Some of these, especially these kids that are protesting, let me just say what Brian talked about is exactly on point. But it also means this. You need to understand what you believe. All right. I say it on the show quite often. It is one thing to say I believe in something. It is quite another to be able to defend your beliefs. So, you know, Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, we should be ready at all times to give a defense for those things that we believe in. Granted, that's talking about your faith. And I get that. It is. I'm not trying to construe that as a verse meant for secular items. But I will say this, that sentiment, though, is wisdom. That applies to your everyday life. Even if you're not talking about faith, if you say you believe in something, you had better be prepared to have those conversations that gives you the chance to defend why it is you believe what you believe. And it can be everything from what I call your elevator pitch. Like, you get in the elevator, you've got 30 seconds till you get to the 10th floor, and someone right as the doors are closing says, "Why do you believe in this?" Could you tell them before you get to the 10th floor in a way that made sense? It's a big deal, y'all. I mean, I went through training to be a Young Life volunteer years ago. And one of the things we had to do was give our own testimony. It's easy. It's my story. I can tell my story. Sure, I can. Yeah, you'd be surprised. First of all, you can lose people's attention if you're rambling and chasing rabbits. So you got to refine your message. And secondly, you can also realize that you know why that meant something to you, but the way you're describing it may not have the best alliteration, and so you want to find a way to bring it to the people's attention. The Apostle Paul, I said it earlier in my monologue, he said, "I've become all things to all people that I might win some all the more." He wasn't saying, "I'm following the crowd. I'll say whatever's popular." What he was saying was he had to know his audience. It's like today. If you find that the younger generation doesn't respond to the hymnal with the great old hymns of the day, maybe it's because that's just where they are in life, but they'll respond to the same messaging through contemporary worship songs, right? Okay, the same can be true for how do you describe things. Maybe you start your conversation with a text message because that's the way they talk. Maybe you tell them that you know something that you saw on Facebook and you want to talk to them about it, because that's what you saw, but you know that's where they are. All I'm saying is know your audience and know your message, and then be able to describe your message and be able to go deep if necessary. Every once in a while, you're going to get a chance to actually go deep. You may get that opportunity to actually sit down and someone says, "I want to know why you believe." Okay, how much time you got? "I got 5 minutes or I got 5 hours. What would you do?" Y'all, this is like, just, you know, messaging 101. It's one thing to believe it. It's an entirely different thing to be able to defend what you believe in such a way that makes other people want to hear it. It's the difference between having a belief and having a message. And I want to encourage you. And by the way, Brian from Harvest, good on you, man. It sounds like you handled it right. You didn't offend. You know, there's such a thing as called fair fighting, where someone disagrees with you and you can have the engaging conversation and still disagree, or you can just descend into insults and tune that. They'll tune you out in a heartbeat. Listen here, you young punk. You don't have any idea what you're talking about, man. I've been there and done that. You listen to me. How long would that conversation last?
Well, you're also trying to put yourself in their shoes and understand, not in trying to agree with them, but understand what's how are they getting to that? You know, you asked some good questions there on, you know, what's leading him to think these things, and you need to take the second and you know, try to understand that so that you can learn how to better communicate what your thoughts are.
Absolutely, so, man.
But
I like I tell you in this regard, PragerU. You familiar with PragerU?
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Prager. PragerU does these great little short videos, and they take the things that you and I believe in, and they put them into a sort of, I won't call it snappy, but like a little snappy little 3-minute thing, sometimes with a celebrity talking about it. And in 3 minutes, they'll give, like if you're talking, say you're talking to a kid and you're not as good at verbalizing, and you say, listen, all right, then do this. If I send you a 3-minute video, would you watch it? You may be amazed what'll happen. All right, we're going to take a break right now. That was a great call. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to get back on to the broader subject. I mean, that was a great one-on-one, which is perfect because I didn't have any one-on-ones in my stack. So thank you, Brian. I'm going to go now into the broader picture. What are they experiencing on these campuses, the Jewish kids? And what should we begin seeing as a culture us do to respond to it? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. All right. I tell you what. Line one, Jeff Rowe from Indiana. What you up to, man?
I'm getting ready to go through the gauntlet, man.
Oh, Nashville.
Yeah, you got that right. But it's okay. I've had my truck stopped fishing, everything. I'm energized and ready to roll.
Hey, I know you you had a flat the other day going north. How long were you on the side of the road?
Well, I made it to the truck stop up here at the TA at Franklin, but then I sat there for 2 hours while I was in the shop, first in line, while a guy that told me how much he knew about changing tires and everything took 2 hours to change one tire.
Well, that's plenty of time to get some pickled eggs and fried fish.
Yeah, but man, they didn't have any.
What's on your mind today, man? What you think about all this stuff?
Hey, we need to get in the faces of these college professors and these deans and everything and ask them, why do they support killing Jews? You know, and why do they support the raping of Jewish women and killing of babies, and you know, just do them like they do the MAGA crowd, you know, except for they are doing what they call the MAGA crowd to be, you know, they are supporting you know, if they're not opposed to it, like you say, you know, if this was a Klansman's on the campuses and everything, it would be immediately you know disembarked and everything, but killing a Jew apparently is okay. So we need to go up there in their faces and ask them, why do you support killing of Jews? And you know, because if they didn't, then these protests would already be, you know, disbanded and everything. And they would already ask people to get rid of this stuff.
You know,
you
know what I think some of them do is they protest because they can and because they have tenure. That's why. I mean, I don't know if they, I mean, do they truly believe that that Israel is a occupying force that is genocidal and that we need to divest and they so disrespect the organization that writes their paycheck that they're going to just keep encouraging kids to act out on their own campus and tear it up. I look at it in almost near disbelief. Like you and I, it would not last 5 minutes if we decided to protest our employer like that, would it?
No. But the thing about it is, like I said, we need to have the good kids on campus that actually got a brain need to accost these kids on campus and ask them, you know, and start calling them Jew killers, and you know, maybe it might accidentally make them think for a second because of what they're doing, because they have no clue what they're doing. You know, it's like I say, they go around asking these kids, you know, what you're here for and everything, and none of them know.
So
they
just
say, oh, go to the newsstand.
I saw one the other day, and I was so impressed with his willingness and his courage. But this Jewish kid showed up, and I'm trying to think which university he was at. It might have been UCLA. But he showed up at the protest site where they have their encampment. And he was wearing the cap that the Jewish kids, the Jewish folks wear, so the men wear. And he got there and they wouldn't let him in. And he said, "Why will you not let me in?" He said, I'm an American and I'm a student who pays my tuition here, and that is my quad. And you cannot in 2024 tell a Jew where they're allowed to stand." And they were trying to, and the police were standing there. So he turned around and he basically shamed the police into escorting him on a walk through their encampment. And he filmed the whole thing. It was awesome. But he had to tell the police officer, "He is telling me I do not have a First Amendment right to speak, nor do I have the right as a Jew to walk in there on the quad that I pay for." And the police officer finally told the pro-Palestine kids, he said, "You know what? We're going to walk through there with him. Step aside." And they did.
I hope there's enough class action lawsuits against these universities.
There will be.
Just about break them.
There will be.
I hope it breaks them.
There will be. And I think that's one of the things that I think that we're going to have to do. The response to this has to be that there has to be some measure of consequences. And it doesn't have to be like rioting or vigilantism, but it does have to be something that they feel later on because they know for a fact that what they did is not being accepted and that it will not be tolerated. And if they do it again, it's going to be even worse. Hey, Jeff, we're inside of a minute, brother. I got to let you go. You be safe on the road, man.
Have a good one, buddy.
You too. See you. Yeah, this is going to be a two-dipper day, bro. I'm thinking, I mean, here we are. It's still going. Great phone calls. How do you deal with anti-Semitism? What do you do about this? Well, I will tell you this. So far, you've heard great stories about, yes, truth. They are getting trained. They are getting funded. They are getting things in the background that bolsters them. And, oh, by the way, that incites them. They are. And then on top of that, you heard the one-on-one a moment ago with Brian from Harvest calling in, talking about going one-on-one, but in a respectful manner with someone who he loves. And he was just basically saying, "Look, man, I don't believe what you believe. Why do you believe that?" And they had the conversation. They had the conversation. But Brian had to know where he stood before he could have the conversation. And so that's an important piece. But the next thing is recognizing, first of all, that Jewish kids have rights. And they cannot deny them the right to the education or their own speech. They can't. They can't. And that needs to be clearly understood and presented. And we'll talk about some more in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I'll tell you who else covers a whole lot of ground. That is our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers like a lot of ground in North Alabama. I mean, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham region. Listen, they're even adding, as I believe they are working on right now. And they are open 7 days a week at every location. That's big. I mean, you get sick on a Saturday. Do you wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care is open 7 days a week, and they will see all ages. All ages. I like to say it's pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see them all. And folks, this is who I use personally, and I mean that with all sincerity. This is who I use. I had to go a few weeks ago. I was actually in Anniston, and I just went over to the Anniston clinic because I was in town. Every time I've walked in the door, clean, friendly, professional, get you in, get you out, and the bottom line is, I'm using them way before they ever advertised. I asked them to advertise because I knew I could brag on them and feel comfortable about doing it. So yes, Southern Immediate Care, all over the place. You need medical attention even on a Saturday. You look them up, find the location nearest to you, head on down. And while you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate that. Several text messages. One from Butters in Rainbow City says test.
Is this thing on?
Hello, McFly. Hello. Yes, we were testing the system because we were noticing that it seemed not to be moving much, but it was working. Jay from Hartsell says it's a 100% indoctrination. All you ever hear is one side of the argument. Professors are influential people, especially the young minds, need to have the whole conversation. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Jeff from Indiana did just text in, says, Phil, you know, you can't do this. Wait, what's he saying? You can't do this. I said, there's a good explanation. Okay. I don't know what he's telling me. It's a YouTube video. Jeff, I'm on the air, brother. You know, I can't watch a YouTube video right now. Kenny from Huntsville says the supreme irony is that these college protesters, in language, behavior, and ideology completely are reminiscent of the Sturm Abteilung brown shirts of the 1920s in Germany. The question is when they will all become like the Schutzstaffel, the SSL, because they do. It's on like Donkey Kong. And what he's basically saying is we're leading up to Kristallnacht, where all of a sudden it was okay to go out and destroy Jewish homes and businesses. The night of broken glass. Scary stuff, Kenny. That's why we got to stop it now. Charlie from Huntsville. Does the family of Lake and Riley have grounds for a legal suit against the state of New York and President Biden for not enforcing their laws and allowing him to repeatedly return to the U.S. and be let? It's a different subject, Charlie, but yes, I believe they do. In fact, I think I heard that civil litigation was already being pursued. More on that at another time. Thanks. All right, so on this topic, let me just jump on something real quick. There's a story here on Fox, came out today. Harvard University student details what is happening behind the locked gates of the school's yard, arguing the encampment at the center of the campus is a pro-terrorist hate fest. Alex Bernat is saying, basically, says they regularly get out there and they chant for Intifada. They use amplified sound out in the yard. It's finals. And so people who live in the yard area want to be able to study, but they're so disruptive to people studying. And they are, by the way, anti-Semitic on a visceral level. So they're screaming in their microphones anti-Semitic chants. Meanwhile, kids who are going to school there and paying big money for their education, thank you very much, Harvard University. I mean, can you imagine? I read that Columbia University gets $70,000 a year to go to Columbia. So these are either scholarshiped or highly privileged kids. Says the campus, though, was closed on May 1st and 2nd. Interesting. Security personnel and police officers were placed outside of gates. Only those with student or faculty IDs were allowed inside. Other entry points had locks placed on them. Even off-campus building had their doors bolted. What the fire marshal says about all that. Fox News Digital went to the Harvard Public Affairs Office to try and gain entry, but they were denied entry, saying they needed more time to accommodate. They said, okay, we'll come back tomorrow. They said, we still won't be able to accommodate you tomorrow, which means you're not allowed in. Harvard's closed-door attitude was a far cry, though, from MIT, just 10 minutes away, where MIT lets anybody on campus, and you can go interview the protesters. So, yeah, what you're seeing here on some of them is, here's what they're doing. It's anti-Semitic. It's not just a little bit. It's designed to inflame. It's designed to provoke. It's designed to discomfort. It's designed to disrupt. That is their purpose. It's not for anything like, well, I just needed the chance to speak my mind and then I'm going to go back into life. No, it's not that at all. All right, here's the thing. They get it from the very top. They do. Townhall.com. Dateline Sunday, Saturday. Jewish organizations abruptly pull out of meetings with the Biden administration after the last-minute addition of left-wing groups. So you've got Jewish organizations that are coming to the Biden administration to meet with the Department of Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, who I am sure was no kind of help because that man's as liberal as the day is long. But these five Jewish organizations showed up, and 20 minutes before the meeting was going to start, they were told that left-wing anti-Jew groups were going to be a part of the meeting too. Why would that even be a thing? That's like, okay, I'm a Christian, and I'm coming to your meeting, and right before it starts, you tell me, I've decided to let the Satanic Church come join the meeting too to tell us how they feel about you. What? We're not here for that. Or you're a black group and you're looking for opportunities to discuss civil rights issues and you show up and the KKK is allowed to be a part of the meeting. Why would that be a thing? I'd like to know, by the way, but do you have the jackassery button over there? Do you know where it still is, Butters? I mean, I know you've been out of the pocket for a bit, but give me some jackassery. That's like major, major. Thank you very much. Thank you. John from Huntsville just gave you 10 points, I'm sure, for your jackassery button. But I look at this and think, that is the height of jackassery. But it's a clear indication that these radical groups, they have entree to the Biden administration. You hear me? They have absolute entree to the Biden administration. They are even allowed to come be a part of the meetings where the Jewish groups thought that they would have a voice finally, only to find out that the anti-Jewish groups are going to be joining them and they weren't given any warning until the meeting is about to start.
I think it's clear. I mean, that's just it's clear they don't care. I mean, they that's negotiating 101. I mean, as an attorney, if you're trying to, like, would you sit down? I mean, you're trying to settle something. I mean, are you just going to have both parties in the room knowing that they're just going to like that just doesn't even make practical sense of, hey, we're trying to figure this out and come to some resolution. And that just screams, I don't really care. I could care less.
Yeah, or I care more about them, so I let them in your meeting.
Yeah.
Sends a signal, yeah. Doesn't it? Has a pretty chilling effect on the ability to think that you can have a candid conversation. And if you're coming in there, by the way, and you think you're going to have an opportunity in chambers to discuss things, only to find out that the other side gets to hear the ingredients to your secret sauce, that's kind of going to put a stifle on the conversation, right?
Yeah.
So what do we do about these people? Well, first of all, understand this. You can't just limit their speech. Can't do it. You can't. They have a right to their opinions. I hate their opinions, but they have a right to them. Because the day that we say they can't have their opinions is the day that when the script is flipped, they'll be able to say the same thing about us. 1819 News has a story. They interviewed Senator Tommy Tuberville. Dateline today. Tuberville's warning against the slippery slope of congressional efforts to restrict anti-Semitic campus speech. I'm glad to hear, now pass a resolution if you want to. I'm glad to hear that the majority in Congress is saying this is wrong. We don't like it. Good. But the fact that they're trying to pass legislation which curbs anti-Semitic speech, come on, people. You know better than that. It won't stand up to constitutional muster. It won't. Tuberville said, first of all, they just passed a bill in the House of Representatives against anti-Semitic talk. He says, you got to be careful with that. That's going after free speech. He says, we can't keep people from saying what they think. The only thing the First Amendment stands for is you cannot cross the line in terms of affecting other people's lives. There's all kinds of hate speech out there. If we start curbing it, you're going to be taking away people's rights. He's not wrong.
I mean, Allie just called in earlier. All the laws were in place back then. The passing laws is not what fixes this. That's absurd. Hey, don't be violent towards other people. Pretty sure that's already against the law.
Absolutely.
Now
there are ways though to curb their behavior. First of all, if you find that there's a business that has been openly supporting these protesters, you do not have to buy their goods, and they will feel it. Story here on foxbusiness.com, Dateline Today. I'm not familiar with this company. It's called Him and Hers. Him and Hers is a company that deals with things like hair loss, skin problems, other stuff. But the owner of Him and Hers got out there the other day. He said, moral courage is greater than your college degree. If you're currently protesting against the genocide of the Palestinian people, there are plenty of companies and CEOs eager to hire you, regardless of your university's discipline. Keep it going. He said that. A few days later, he's crawfishing in a big way because they dropped 8% of their market share overnight, just like began to crater. Him and Hers is suddenly having to turn around to their shareholders and go, yeah, okay, all right, I hear you. I'm gonna talk to the press. And he comes back with, I've been misconstrued. You weren't misconstrued, you knucklehead. You just told them to keep protesting and don't worry about the consequences. Well, your consequences are, we're not going to buy your stuff.
Good argument that capitalism kind of works.
Funny how that free market thing goes.
As broken as in as many issues as we have in this country, it kind of works pretty well.
Here's the other one. These students that are protesting, don't give in to them. When they make their demands, just look at them and go, your demands mean nothing to me. Get off the quad. Now, if you want to say something, say it. If you want to have an opinion, go for it. If you want to camp out on the quad, trash it, break into one of the buildings, take it over, deny other students the right to their own education, guess what? You're going to jail. And then when you don't get to graduate, don't come crying to us. Go tell mommy why you blew your scholarship. That needs to happen. But here's the other one needs to happen. I like this one. AL.com, which I don't often agree with because AL.com is so freaking liberal. But AL.com has a story here. Dateline Today. Both of our Alabama senators, that would be Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville, have agreed to co-sponsor a bill that would bar students convicted of crimes linked to their campus protests from receiving their student loan forgiveness.
Nice.
But you said I wouldn't. The student loan, I took out the $90,000 for my underwater basket weaving degree. You said that I would be okay and you were going to. Mr. Biden was going to, no, I'm so sorry. You see, Congress will not curb your constitutional rights, but Congress does not have to pay for your bad behavior. How about that? The American taxpayers, they're not real pleased with the idea that you're going to get your loan paid for after you tore up the public university that their tax dollars paid for. UCLA, public university. Portland State University, public university. Some of them are private, but some of these folks are literally tearing up something paid for with taxpayer dollars. And then they're going to wonder why Uncle Joe's not going to pay off their loan anymore. Because you screwed up and we don't have to pay for it. That's one way we can deal with it. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. Last break of the day. We'll come on back from that and see if we got any text messages to get. And listen, folks, there's other ways you can handle this stuff. But the main thing you need to know is you don't have to kowtow to their, and I know you know that, but I'm saying it anyway, just because you need to hear it again. You don't have to kowtow to their demands, but you do have to know why you believe what you believe so you can counter the arguments. Phil Williams, Nightside Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, we got the very next episode of the brand new video podcast, The Right Philosophy. It is coming out on Wednesday. I just heard back from production a little while ago that the production is complete. We'll get it uploaded, and it'll be ready by Wednesday morning for viewing on rightsideradio.org. Soon to have YouTube-ishness going on with it, but yeah, it's. And then we've also got some short videos coming out to kind of accompany it on social media. But nonetheless, it's been pretty well received. If you haven't seen it yet, I want to encourage you to go check it out. Go to rightsideradio.org, click the podcast tab, and look for the artwork there for The Right Philosophy. Just click on it, and it takes you to all the selections. Kind of, I mean, I'm filming it at my house, and picture like the style of my opening monologues that I use on the show every day. Each one's about 10 minutes long on the video podcast, similar in style to the content. But yeah, that's going on. I'm pretty stoked about it. Brand spanking new texter in the line says, James from Morris says, Phil for governor. No, James, don't be wishing that on me. Butters, he's new in the system. If you wouldn't mind plugging him in, I'd appreciate
that.
Yes, sir.
I would like to note that the grades are in before we run out of time.
Oh, the grades are in. Well, John from Huntsville ain't playing. He says, Phil, your awesome performance earns you an A+. However, today's winner is obviously Butters. That's why you want me to read it.
I wouldn't have pre-read that. No.
obviously, Butters with an A++ for doing a spectacular job filling in for Big Rig. And because he didn't say anything I disagreed with, and yes, Phil, I did give him 10 extra credit points for his jackassery sound effect. Says, congratulations, Butters. You are definitely a true professional.
Thank you, John.
There you go.
As always.
As always. Mike from Coxie says, I had an old lieutenant colonel who taught me that everyone has a right to try, even if it's a right to fail, even if it's a right to be wrong. Your old lieutenant colonel was not wrong himself. Britt from Athens says, isn't it ironic that most of these protesters would actually be targeted by the very people they're supporting? Muslims weren't exactly supportive of liberal ideas, LGBT, women's rights, etc. Maybe it's time for them to take a field trip to the Middle East and see what it's really like. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I watch some of these groups out there. Queers for Palestine. Yay. Rainbow flags next to Palestine flags. We stand together because we understand what it means to be marginalized. No, you don't. No, you don't at all. Because if you went to Palestine and you hung your rainbow flag outside your door, it would be gone in a moment, and so would you. Just saying. So it's just, yeah, no. I got a last article here from the Daily Wire. Tom Cotton. I really like Senator Cotton from Arkansas, but Tom Cotton, by the way, I see him as being a potential future like Secretary of Defense. I think he'd make a good one. But Tom Cotton, he was slamming the pro-Hamas protesters this past weekend, who have been taking over college campuses, saying, in his opinion, they deserve our contempt and they deserve mockery. okay. I guess that's one thing. But when I read his comments, what he's really saying is, he says, yeah, they take it. They set up these little Gazas, they call them, in on the campuses. They're chanting for the final solution. They're telling Jews to go back where they came from. They're spray painting buildings with vile anti-Semitic hate. Well, we shouldn't have that. Where are the encampments, John, on campuses that are spreading Islamophobia? Nowhere. Why is Joe Biden so equivocal? Why does he have to draw moral equivalence between thousands of students who are setting up little Gazas across America? What he basically went on to say was, we don't have to put up with this. We don't have to pretend it's okay. We don't have to pretend that some of what they're doing is even covered by the First Amendment, because a lot of it's not. What we're seeing right now is an abuse of the system. And we've got some educators and administrators who are mollycoddling it. In the meantime, Jewish students, and by the way, other good students who just paid their tuition and want to be able to go to school, can't even walk the line to get their diplomas without having these folks come in. And it's wrong. And we don't have to put up with it. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Butters has been on the board. We love you, man. Thanks for being here. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll see you then.